The book is Burley Grimes, Baseball's Last Legal Spitballer. And the author, it's a pleasure to have him with us. It is Joe Niese, N-I-E-S-E. The book is out by McFarland, and I'm sure you can get it in all sorts of different spots. Joe, nice to have you with us today.
Hey, Joe.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, did I do a good preamble for Burley Grimes?
Yeah. You sure did. I think we could maybe end the interview right now. I don't know.
Okay. Tell us, well, you can expand on it. As I said, I always found him very interesting. He was a scout later on, but this was a tough cookie from Wisconsin, and he got in the big leagues, and as you say, the last spitballer. Give us a little of the history there and why you chose him.
Sure. Well, it really starts with proximity. I grew up in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, about 60 miles from Clear Lake, where Burley was from. And Burley got his professional career started in Eau Claire, as did Hank Aaron and Andy Pasco as well. And so I really got the thing started by, you know, wanting to learn a little bit more about people from my area and, you know, what a story Burley has. And then it really starts with his name. You know, it doesn't get much better than the name Burley Grimes. And so, you know, Burley started out as, you know, as a teenage lumberjack and kind of took that mentality onto the ball field where every pitch was a fight. So, you know, he learned spitball at a very young age. And, you know, as you alluded to, you know, in 1920, they were trying to clean up the game a little bit. And they were actually going to say that no more spitballs after this year. But it ended up happening where the Dodgers and the Cleveland Indians were in the World Series. And Grimes and Cleveland's best pitcher, Stan Kovaleski, were both spitballers. Had a great series. Cleveland did win, but owners saw this and kind of stepped back and said, we need to keep the spitball in the game. So they let each team allot two pitchers to throw for the duration of their career, and Grimes was the last legal one when he retired in 1934.
Well, very interesting, Joe. Joe Niese here with Marty and Patrick Connor. How did you source all your information? Were there guys that played against him still around, or did you use Baseball Reference? How did you come about all your information for this book on Burley Grimes?
Well, you know, I don't know how people did research for the Internet, to be honest with you. It's crazy. But you know, I slogged through dozens of microfilm reels at the library that I'm director at, and I did have one great resource, a guy by the name of Charles Clark, who was kind of the son that Burley never had. And he lives in Clear Lake and has all of Burley's memorabilia and all of his stories. And he accompanied the Burley to Cooperstown every year. And so that was really my primary resource. So
cool.
Very good. The book is Burley Grimes, as Joe Niese is the author, N-I-E-S-E. McFarland Publishing puts it out. Now, again, Pat talked about Gaylord Perry, who was surreptitious. You know, he was tugging his hair and his arm and shirt. Now, in those days, if you were a spitballer, did they kind of know it was coming? And did he, you know, how did he load up the ball? How did that happen?
Right.
Well, Burley was a little different. He didn't chew tobacco or anything. He used the bark of a slippery elm tree. That's what he chewed on.
Well, and so, naturally, of course, the bark of a slippery elm tree, of course.
Yeah, and so and that's kind of, that's the reason why he also had the stubble, was because it irritated his skin so much that he needed that little growth in between him and the slippery elm. And so he would put his glove in up to his mouth before every pitch. And so his delivery was likened it to squeezing a watermelon seed. And so a lot of pressure when he did that, had to keep his nails finely manicured, and, you know, really got to the point where, you know, finger placement, you can make a dive and dart. And,
amazing.
Really mastered.
Well, there was
a
time when they figured out when he was going to throw the spitball, and that's an interesting little story of how they figured that out.
It is, yeah. Art Fletcher for the Phillies, if I recall, Burley had his ball cap was a little too tight, and so every time he would load up, his temples would move, and his hat would move with those. And so he was tipping his pitches that way.
Well, I love it. All right, let me read a little bit out of Wikipedia, because I looked that up today. Again, Joe, you can comment on this. At the time of his retirement, he was the last of 17 spitballers left in the league. He acquired a lasting field reputation for his temperament. He's listed in the Baseball Hall of Shame for having thrown a ball at a batter in the on-deck circle. His friends and supporters note that he was consistently a kind man off the diamond.
Okay.
Others claimed he showed a greedy attitude to many people who got on his bad side. He was married five times. He would speak mainly only to his best friend, Ivy Olson, in the dugout. and would pitch only to a man named Matthias Schroeder before games. Schroeder's identity was not well known among many Dodger players, as many say he was just a nice guy from the neighborhood.
Wow.
How about that? Is that stuff true?
It is. And, you know, at a time when there wasn't a lot of movement amongst teams, Grimes played for seven different teams. So that kind of says the person that he was. And, yeah, he didn't get along with his primary catcher, Otto Miller, for Brooklyn. And so, like you said, he was thrown to some guy from the Brooklyn neighborhood in warm-ups.
Very good. But he was, and we have the Cardinals in town, obviously. He was a World Series hero with the Cardinals in 31. Was in four World Series with Brooklyn, two with the Cardinals, and one eventually with the Cubs. So he's a Hall of Famer, 270 wins, and he was a scout. The late Bill King got to know Burley Grimes because Bill was at Independence, Missouri, doing work, and Burley Grimes would come to Bill's Mark Saxon's here, he'll remember Bill, would come to Bill's motel room every morning, and Burley Grimes would tell Bill stories of baseball. And that's how I first learned of Burley Grimes. So, Joe, if someone wanted to get the book, what would you tell him? Why would someone want to read this book? Why is it important?
He's just one of those throwback guys. They give you a little, he was one of Ty Cobb's favorite players. Ty Cobb pushed real hard to get Grimes into the Hall of Fame. And, started that push in the late 50s, and Grimes got in 64. It's just, you're not going to get much more of a colorful character than Burley. And, I think I'm very proud of the book, and it's a good story.
Hey, Joe, is there anybody on today's baseball landscape that has a similar personality that you can identify?
Oh, boy. I don't know. They keep it pretty close to the vest and with, cooked answers and stuff like that. So I don't know.
Madison Bumgarner, he's a lumberjack, but I don't think he's as surly as Burley.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. It was just so life or death then for a paycheck. I don't know, who I would compare him to today.
Well, and of course, that again, like I always say, reflects the history of America. When he pitched in the 30s, it was life and death to keep your job, and it always showed up in the baseball field. Joe, a pleasure having you on. Now, you also wrote the book about Andy Pafko, which is another name from baseball's past. But Burley Grimes, baseball's last legal spitballer, it's a lot of fun to read it, and they're good baseball stories. So congratulations on a nice book.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Joe.
Yeah, very good.
Marty, a lot of these authors that you've had on, right, from McFarland, and I keep picking up on this publishing company. They seem to do a lot of baseball books, or is that just kind of a coincidence?
They do a lot of different things, but they clearly have an emphasis on these kind of books for baseball.
Okay.
Maybe not exactly the most mainstream, but if you're looking for the colorful stories, this is the place to go. And also modern things. They do all sorts of stuff. And it's been a nice relationship getting to meet the
authors. No doubt.
And
I'm glad you're highlighting these because it's fun to hear about the history of baseball. It's truly the most romantic of the four majors. So I'm glad you're doing that, Marty.
Yeah, Burley Grant. Imagine seeing this guy on the mound.
Well, throwing balls at guys in the on-deck circle and taking shots at people and swinging axes slippery
good.
Elm.
Of course. Have you ever chewed the bark of a slippery elm tree?
I can't remember it. I've chewed a lot of things, but not slippery elm.
All right. More coming up.